Whatever the adventure, there's a BMW engineered to take it on. The X3 delivers a striking design with agile performance. The 100% electric i4, packed with pure electric energy. Or the plug-in hybrid X5, an impressive, versatile SUV granting full control on every journey. Choose what powers your next adventure during the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through January 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
When I pull up to the parking lot, it's time to level up. Dial in, showing out for your team. Listen up, get you some. I stand the fan to give you what you need. Fan fuel, game time. Turn up the intensity. Team colors bleeding now. 5 hour energy. For a limited time, get the fan fuel flavor at 5hourenergy.com.
I'm Jenna Fisher.
And I'm Angela Kinsey.
And together, we have the podcast Office Ladies.
Just because we finished rewatching The Office does not mean we're going anywhere.
Every Wednesday, we'll be sharing even more exclusive stories from The Office and our friendship with brand new guests. Plus, you can revisit all the Office Ladies rewatch episodes every Monday with new bonus tidbits before every episode.
So follow and listen to Office Ladies on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
It's the WIP Afternoon Show with Ike, Spike, and Fritz. Joining us every Tuesday at 4 o'clock, Jordan Mailata. Jordan is brought to you by Colonial Hyundai. Shop online 24-7, colonialhyundai.com. Colonial Hyundai, the faster, easier, better way to buy a Hyundai. Jordan, I know your job is difficult. Playing football is really, really hard. But have you tried arguing with Elliot Shore Parks for a full hour?
Hey, man, that's actually hilarious.
I know physically yours is more difficult, but mentally, I don't know, it might be close.
Right.
Yeah.
Oh, man. That's, no comment.
So, Jordan, a great win on Sunday, and it could tell by the reaction you guys felt like it was a great win as well. You've played on some awesome offensive lines. Is the way that you guys are playing now the most dominant that an offensive line you've played on has played?
That's a great question. I don't know how to answer that. I think this is the closest unit that we've had. Mm. I think we're all closer in age, so that helps a lot. I would say this is a pretty dominant line. I don't know if it's the most dominant line. But yeah, that's a hard question to answer, man. We'll see, man. Ask me that at the end of the season, man.
We will.
It's hard to say right now, man. Because you know we're clicking on all cylinders, but we're not firing. We're not firing at all cylinders. So big difference. So ask me at the end of the season.
All right, let me ask you about that game Sunday, man. It's so much talk about physicality going into that game, and I loved Nick's message prior to the game, at least to us, and I'm sure he relayed the same thing to you all. Everybody's talking about Baltimore's physicality and can you all match their physicality when you guys went in there with the mindset of can Baltimore match your physicality? So I'm just wondering, how did the matchup sort of live up to all the expectations? Was it as physical as we thought it was going to be going into the game?
So Coach had a great message from the start of the week. It was, you know, we know our style of football, but they haven't played a team like us. They have to match our physicality, you know, and that was the message throughout the week. And sure enough, man, that first half, three quarters was just a brawl. It was just a brawl. My body is hurting today. Bad. Still. And, I mean, it truly just was a brawl, just trading punches quarter after quarter after quarter. And, you know, Coach has the great saying of, it's not about who's toughest, it's who's toughest the longest.
Yeah.
And that's the mentality that we all embrace, you know, that it's going to be a grind, it's going to be a battle, but who's going to last the longest? And that's really what it was on Sunday.
What do you think Baltimore was sort of doing well, or maybe you guys wasn't doing as well as you want to do, that the running game on the offense just didn't look like it was. And there were some plays there that you guys were hitting with Saquon running the football and things of that nature. But I thought Baltimore at least did a serviceable job of not letting the explosive plays happen there with Saquon. Did they do anything different with their front as far as how they wanted to defend the running game against you all?
Yeah, I would say they did a really good job of playing the three tech into the guard more, so we couldn't hit our double teams, our combo blocks, whatever you want to call them.
Mm-hmm.
The three technique would hide his hip, hide his shoulder, so I had nothing to surface or hit. Now, for those of you that don't know what I'm talking about, I had nothing to surface or hit. And we couldn't really get or be as dominant as we could the first quarter, just trying to see how they were playing. And they were playing a lot more into the guards than we initially thought. And it was extremely frustrating, especially for a team that loves to work on double teams. You know, we pride ourselves on that. We pride ourselves on that. My dog's over here chewing on this toy.
We thought it was a hamster.
it was my dog, George. George is coming. We pride ourselves on the fundamentals. And the fundamentals of football, if you can execute a perfect double block, duo, whatever you call it, that's how you can dominate the line of scrimmage. And they were making it hard for us to execute those blocks just by how the three techs were playing.
That's great trench talk right there, man.
Real trench talk, man. Well, speaking of trenches, I was talking to Brandon Graham yesterday because it's actually not just the offense that has gotten off to slow starts. The defense, too, it seems like they're figuring things out. And Brandon mentioned that what happens a lot is you look at a lot on tape all week about what you're facing, but then there's always something different that you have to figure out in those first few series. I imagine it's the same on offense too, that you have an idea of what the other team's going to do, but there's always something different when you get in there that you have to adjust to.
Yeah, always. And that's the beauty of having the relationship with your coach. You're able to come back and talk to everyone, the players you're playing with, and the coaches calling the play, and you talk about what they're seeing and what you're seeing and what the best plays are, how you feel. It's just like getting a feel of how that person across from you is playing. What are you seeing different from the film that we've watched? And then trying to call the best play, possible against that look.
Mm-hmm. Jordan, players say a lot, game a game, one game at a time. There's after you guys, with the winning streak you're on and then beating Baltimore in front of national TV, it does seem like not just Philadelphia, but the entire country has taken notice and put the Eagles in the elite class of teams talking about, the Super Bowl. It's one thing to say one game at a time. It's another thing to do it. So how do you go about tuning those things out and focusing on the next mission at hand as opposed to the overall mission that you guys are looking to accomplish this year?
The culture that's set, like that Coach Sirianni said early on, when it's always been about 1-0 every week, as cliche as that is, every coach wants to say that, but do they live by it? And it's just as easy as focusing. It's so easy to focus on the next game or the focus on the media, but what they're saying about you. But man, coach, just again and again, it's 1-0 and making sure guys are locked into this week, only talking about this week, only talking about today, the practice, what we're focusing on, taking your next step, not taking a look down the road to see where you're headed, just be where your feet are at.
Mm-hmm.
The culture that was set early on helps a lot, especially with the guys who have been with Coach since he's been here. We set that. We keep preaching that. It helps when everyone believes.
Yeah, for sure. We're on with the Eagles tackle, Jordan Mailata. Jordan, Nick brought up the four-minute drill for you guys late in the game, and it's always impressive. I mean, this year it's just been on another level when you guys have to sort of try to either run the clock down or you're going for that final score. In this case, that drive that led to the Saquon touchdown. I'm just wondering what's it like in that huddle for you guys. And AJ mentioned that he had mentioned to Saquon that, okay, it's time to let Superman out. You can let him out now. We need to see him on this drive. I'm just wondering, going into that drive, do you guys sort of get pumped? And is that sort of motivation to go and try to put a score on the board there the way you guys did for that final drive with Saquon?
Absolutely. Absolutely. It's hard because there was an inside zone we ran to the left, and Saquon hit it front side when he's supposed to hit it backside. And, he gets tackled. He gets 10 yards, and he gets tackled, and he's, like, slapping the ball. He's like, damn it, I should have cribbed that. I should have taken that to the crib. And he was so mad about it. You just have to talk to him. You have to tell him, like, hey, like, next play, it's fine. It's going to hit. As many times as he reminds us that, we're one block away, we have to do a good job of telling him, hey, that, like, it's going to come. And sure enough, I can't say it, but it arrived. It arrived.
We appreciate you censoring yourself right there. Thank you.
Well done.
It arrived.
Well, Jordan, this season has turned into so much fun for us. And, a game like that, you said it hurt, but we're watching that game as Eagles fans. We're like, yeah, that's football,
that's
man.
Football
that's
right
football
there.
So it's been great. And we're looking forward to every game. So congratulations so far. We know the job's not done yet, but you're doing a good job so far. I can say that.
Thank you, guys.
All right, man. Rest up, big dog.
All right, Joe.
All right. Appreciate you.
Yep. Sounds like he's got a tiny dog.
Oh, yeah. And that's normally how it is. Yeah.
I see him walking around. I used to live around Rittenhouse for 10 months. I don't know if everyone.
Oh, yeah, that's right. I remember that. Yeah.
And
when you were a city guy.
Well, a big city guy. You know me. And obviously, Jordan's massive, right?
Can't hide him.
Dude, his dog was maybe a foot.
Oh, really? His little tiny dog.
The big guy walking the little poofy dog.
Yeah.
Very funny aesthetic.
French bulldog?
Nah, smaller than that.
Oh, okay.
Smaller than a little French bulldog.
What's those?
He's got like a pocket poodle or something.
Something like that.
Is he married, Jordan? Is that his?
He's now married.
Just got married. Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Last summer?
I think last summer, yeah. Because I think, wasn't Dickerson his best man?
He was.
That's my left side of the line, Spike.
The wife often wants the dog that can fit into the purse or whatever.
Yes, he's going along with it.
Yeah, well.
What does he care?
Yeah, it doesn't matter to him.
Yeah, he doesn't care.
Yeah, my wife's different. She likes pit bulls with issues, with like mental issues. That's what she's drawn toward.
Pit bulls with mental issues.
Yeah,
radio hosts
and radio. Yes, I guess there's a theme there. All right, Super Bowl or bust, or one game at a time for you right now as an Eagles fan. 215-592.
We're back.
94-94. Say what, guy? Dave, you're on WIP.
What's up, fellas? Look, y'all made me eat all my popcorn laughing at y'all debating, man. That was so funny.
I'm glad you enjoyed it, man. It ruined my voice for the rest of the day.
Hey, look, y'all keep it live. Hey, listen, with y'all permission, can I talk about the Eagles, and then I want to say something about the kids, if it's okay?
Oh, no, not the Pee Wee football team again.
No. I just want to say they won the championship.
Oh, there you go. Yeah.
Come on, man.
Thanks,
shout him out,
good job.
Man.
Congratulations.
Thanks. Good job. Say what, guy?
Now, do they go to like nationals or something, or is it just?
Well, they played three games. My grandson, I had to name him Baby Saquon.
Oh, okay, of course. I mean, Saquon's around
here this year. 177 yards rushing. He had three touchdowns, and he had like 9 solo tackles. And 3 of them he saved so the guy didn't get a touchdown, and they won 24 to nothing.
Dave, move on to the Eagles, Jack's going to play the Oscar music really loud on you. I don't want that to happen.
Let me tell you about the Eagles. We got pumped, and I'm telling you, all the fans that said we won a Sherry out of the fire, Hurts was going to be a Wentz, you know what I mean? We all got pumped. Because none of us knew that they were going to be playing like they play today. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And here's the road to the Super Bowl. First of all, they got to keep their foot on the gas. They got to look in that rearview mirror, right? And then after they look in that rearview, have a mindset. Ike, and you mentioned it.
Talk to me.
Just have a mindset that you want to go to the Super Bowl. But as you go and pay attention, and I think they can make it.
Yeah, well, that sounds like a formula.
Yeah, your lips to God's ears, man. Fingers crossed.
Oh yeah, and you want a British guy? I grew up with the Beatles, man. That's
big answer.
Who I grew up with.
Well, that's four. That's four Brits. You
who's
pick
your
one
Beatle. Who's your go-to Beatle?
How do you pick one Beatle?
No, you got to pick one Beatle. Yeah, have a take.
Everybody's.
I would say John Lennon.
Oh, good answer.
That's a good answer. That's a good answer.
Yep.
All right, Dave.
Say what?
My mom was a Beatles fan. My mom was a Paul guy.
Paul Bearer?
She liked McCartney. She was
not a Paul Bearer.
She liked McCartney. I would say it's tough. I'd be a Lennon.
He's the third best.
Yeah. I'd be a George Harrison guy.
Yeah, Lennon, Harrison, McCartney.
Whoa, you're McCartney third?
Come on, man. He writes children's songs.
Oh, come on. Those are the hits.
I know.
No surprise. Not a Beatles guy.
Really?
Not a shock.
Not a Beatles guy.
Yep.
Paul McCartney, though.
Yeah, there you go.
Little Michael Jackson?
Yes. Ebony and Ivory?
Yeah. That wasn't the one I was thinking of, but yeah.
Well, I mean, that was those two, right?
Say.
Oh, Say was cool, too.
Yeah, remember that? That's a good one.
Yeah, Ebony and Ivory.
I used to love when that video. That's when you didn't get to see all the videos you wanted to see. So when the Michael Jackson video came on, MTV, come on, man.
That's why the box was such a big deal, because
yes,
you could pay for a video.
Yeah.
You know,
you think my mother was paying for a video?
No. You know, I actually realized when I went over to one of my friends' houses in high school that there were the box for different areas.
Yeah.
Because the box at my house was playing rock videos all the time. And I think it might have been Smoke's house or whatever. I went over there and it was not rock videos.
Rap music?
It was rap videos.
Really?
Yes.
Now, see, I did not know that.
I think they had different feeds for different areas.
Makes sense.
It would, yes.
They try to make sure they appeal to a certain demographic everywhere.
Yeah, I think it was college. Maybe it was college right around then. Right? Jack, do you remember the box? Or was it the box before
Come
you?
On, man. Okay. I had YouTube.
There's no way he remembers the box.
So
I do vaguely remember MTV still having music videos, but that's about it.
So after MTV got popular, there was a TV channel called The Box where you could call up, and I think you had to pay, right? Mm-hmm. You had to pay like $2 or whatever.
I thought it was 99 cents, but maybe it was $2.
Well, whatever it is, it's a total scam because you would just sit there forever waiting for your video, having no idea if it was
you who actually paid for it. Yes,
because 100 people could have called for the same video.
It was like a damn jukebox.
Oh, dude, they had to be friggin' printing money.
You know what?
Is
he too young? I'm just too dumb to realize that or not. But yeah, you're right. You just have to sit there and wait for your video to come up.
Yes.
And like you said, you don't know if somebody had already ordered that video.
Yep.
It was a scam.
Yes, that's how the world made us, toughened us, Jack. That's how we're so hardened because of what happened with the box.
By the way, Ebony and Ivory apparently was Paul
Stevie
McCartney
Wonder.
And Stevie Wonder.
Yes. Well,
way to go, Spike.
Well, sorry.
No, what's wrong is I didn't know.
Yes.
But
I'm not in the delegation.
Yeah, no, you're right about this. Another strike against me. And I wasn't sure, and I just let it go.
You're right. Say was Paul McCartney.
That's why I said say. When you said Ebony and Ivory, I'm like, I don't want to say if it's not.
Well,
or if it
I
isn't.
Was actually thinking, I'm trying to play the song in my head. I'm like, that doesn't sound like Michael Jackson, as I'm thinking about it. And then he made his final appearance in a delegation meetup with Kanye and Rihanna.
Yes.
Paul McCartney was in that one, too.
Yeah.
What was that song? I can't remember the name of the song.
With Kanye and Rihanna.
It was 4 or 5 seconds.
4 or 5 seconds.
That's what it was.
Yeah, that's a good song.
Yeah, good tune.
What about Ebony and Ivory with Joe Piscopo and Eddie Murphy? Saturday Night Live.
Now, look, that was my golden era. That Saturday Night Live era with Eddie Murphy and Joe. Do you remember that Eddie Murphy one where he was a white guy for a day when he did all? So Eddie Murphy did this skit where he went
Mr. Robinson's Neighborhood.
Mr. Robinson's Neighborhood was great. Gumby was obviously great.
Yeah.
There's a skit, you should watch it on YouTube sometime.
Yeah, no,
Eddie Murphy gets all this makeup, mm-hmm. and they give him a mustache and a hat, and he lives as a white guy one day. And everywhere he goes, they're just like,
stuff. He's saying how different it is for a white guy.
Yes,
I do remember that. Yes.
All time
a lot of those
skit.
Characters. Was that one of the ones he used in, that wasn't the white guy he used in Coming to America, right?
No, I don't think so. Coming to America was the old Jewish guy.
Right.
Yeah, in the barbershop.
Right.
Yes. No,
yes,
different
wasn't
guy.
That guy, right?
Different guy. Yeah. The guy he was in Saturday Night Live, it was, almost looked like Smithers from
The
Simpsons.
Simpsons.
Gary in Vineland, you're on WIP. What's up, Gary?
Do you remember from that era the Martin Short when he was the attorney for the state? Oh my God! But anyhow, that's what he reminds me of. You when you're like, I'm not being defensive. You're the one that's being defensive.
Martin Short was great.
You know what I'm talking about?
The Martin Short I remember is when Grimley, was that his name? Ed Grimley, the guy with the pointed hair guy.
I remember him.
You probably remember it if you saw it. Yeah.
Saturday Night Live.
Yeah. Saturday Night
Live.
Yeah. So I think the worm might malfunction. You had Daddy on this afternoon saying that Coach is better than John Madden. And now Elliot, like,
he said his numbers are legendary.
He said he's better than John Madden?
And then he said John Madden only coached for 4 years. And then they said, no, he didn't coach for 10. And he's like, oh, whatever.
So I actually have the audio. Do you want to hear this?
Yeah, Gary, hang on one second. Play this.
You got it.
So John Madden in his career was 112-39-7 with a winning percentage of .750 and won the Super Bowl.
Kind of good.
We all like Nick. We could hold off on the John Madden.
But that's why Elliot had to come in and do what he did today.
Oh, right.
He had to one up Howard.
Yes. That's the beauty of what's going on.
Did you hear Howard this morning?
Howard said Madden.
He was better than Madden. I should say he's better than Belichick.
Oh, my God. I agree with Jack. Between him and OG Wade, I'd like to see you guys do a poll. Does OG Wade make you like Jalen less? Because it's just like, disgusting. They're good.
Totally
they're
agree.
Really good. We like them. We're coming around.
Yeah.
I know what Coach does now. He's a leader of men. I see it now.
I get it.
My God. He's not the best thing ever.
Yeah. Well, it is what it is. So
it is.
You a one game at a time guy? You a Super Bowl guy? Where are you right now?
I think we're heading to New Orleans, man.
I
don't know, man. How many injuries Detroit has? I think
they do have a lot of injuries. I am a little worried. I feel like ours are quietly popping up here and there. We lost Van Sumeren for the rest of the year, and I know it's just, but he
huge loss.
We respect fullbacks on this station.
Well, yeah, and dude, they had play once, and we lost. Goddard is now on IR.
Yep.
Right. We have Slay in concussion protocol, as far as I know, still is. Reed Blankenship's in concussion protocol. Yep. We also have. There was one more that I'm trying to. Oh, well,
Devontae.
I guess Devontae will be back. I would assume next week.
Hamstring.
Yeah.
Did you hear Rich's reaction to Ben Van Sumeren being done for the year?
Did he cry? This is really. I knew he was going to do that.
All right, Gary, who's your go-to Brit?
I would just say, but real quick, could a legendary coach lead us to failure? No way. I like to, because I've been singing Slick Rick songs ever since, I think you guys should vote for the Slick Rick guy.
Okay. All right. You just want to give it up for the Slick Rick.
Okay.
All right. That's
Slick
cool.
Rick.
All right. That's good. I'll take that.
I'm still shocked. I didn't know Slick Rick was a Brit.
Yeah. Well, you've learned something new every day on this show.
Every day on this show. Believe me, when we mess up, we learn.
We learn quick.
By the way, another Michael Jackson, Paul McCartney song.
Yes.
The Girl Is Mine.
Oh, another good song.
That's another good one.
Another good tune.
Jack, 80s soft rock, man. Come on, man.
Oh, yeah. That was
you're a soft rock kind of guy, too.
Yeah, well, John Mayer's the GOAT. Oh, yeah, I'm a rom-com and soft rock man.
You know what I was listening to, speaking of soft rock? I mean, I guess this would be classified when I was driving home last night. Who's Gonna Drive You Home by The Cars? Do you remember that song? You would know it if you heard it.
I was going to say if I heard it.
It was that era. I listened to it 3 times in a row. Who's gonna drive you home? I
do know that song.
Yes.
Who's gonna
tonight? Good tune, man.
I want to just be a damn fly in your car, man.
Oh, dude. It's a long time. I got to pop back and forth between the podcast and the singing. Oh, yeah.
Yelling at people about different debates we'd had on the show earlier that day. You're replaying them in your head.
And my patience on the drive home. Drive in, I'm fine. Drive home, my patience like this. You're tailgating me a little bit. You're getting a finger, man. Yep. You're getting a finger. What? Oh, no.
Yeah.
Don't relax.
I'm not even.
Not even touching it.
Don't. All right. Don't.
Hold on. I might have to.
Oh, no.
All right.
No.
We have a. It's not a Phillies related High Hopes Jackie baseball report. Now.
I'm sick of the Phillies.
But we do have a High Hopes Jackie baseball report because the MLB.
Flagship home of the Phillies. Like,
yes.
You hear that, John?
Yeah.
Sick of it.
There's some rumors that Major League Baseball is considering a drastic rule change.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
Drastic. And we'll talk about it next. I can tell you I'm for it, and it's not going to make Jack happy. I'm for it. So this is next on the WIP Afternoon Show with Ike, Spike, and Fritz. It is the WIP Afternoon Show with Ike, Spike, and Fritz. The Twitter question is sponsored by Mark's Jewelers. Mark's Jewelers has twice the twinkle this holiday. Win a brand new Harley-Davidson or Ike's custom championship ring at marks-jewelers.com. This is Elliot related. Who was more famous, Princess Diana or Queen Elizabeth? Elliot on the wrong side of this one, as Princess Di is at 63%. Elliot has had this Queen Elizabeth take for a really long time. He told me she was more famous than Tiger Woods once. I think I argued
that argument.
That was a whole thing.
And what he said, she was the most famous person in the world.
Yeah. And honestly, I think I could put her picture in a lineup with 10 other old ladies, and he wouldn't be able to pick out which one Queen Elizabeth
was. He wouldn't even be able to pick her out.
Though, if I put Tiger Woods in a lineup, he could probably pick out Tiger Woods. Same with Princess Di. Just a thought. All right. Let's talk a little bit of baseball.
It's time for the High Hopes Jackie Baseball Report. Sacrifice for Soto. Here's Jackie Baseball.
Yeah, put the Soto thing on pause. How's that meeting coming, Jack?
I just love the idea of, we'll get there.
Yeah.
Other teams are putting together real offers.
Yep.
The Phillies are like, listen, when we get around to it.
They're going to meet with him after he signs with the Red Sox.
Just congratulate him. The old courtesy meeting.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So, I need one Soto. Just give me one real rumor. Like, he misses Kevin Long. He loves Trey Turner.
Yeah.
Bryce Harper's a great leader.
He talked to Bryce.
Just one. Just give me one. Just give me
something.
Do something. But the reason why we had to do the emergency Jackie Baseball Report today is because Major League Baseball is apparently, there's buzz, there's momentum for the idea of a golden at bat.
I love this so much.
In Major League Baseball games. So,
How does it work?
The idea is that any time during a ball game, ninth inning, second inning, middle of the game, you can put whatever hitter you want up to bat for that situation.
And you just get it one time.
And you can only use it once, a golden at bat. Whether it's the bottom of the ninth, World Series, I don't know how it would work. Like if Bryce just batted.
That's something they'd have to figure out, whether he get to bat twice.
Does he get to just go back to back?
Yep.
But the general idea, and there's, I guess it's still the, it's a half-baked idea, is that at any point during a game, you could just use whatever batter you want. Golden at bat.
I know how I feel about it. Ike, how do you feel about
it? Get it to me one more time.
So it's simple. It's simply, the way that it's explained already is that you can use whatever batter you want in any situation that you want.
So one
time during the game. It's called the golden at bat.
Got you.
So, like, let's say the ninth inning, two outs, bases loaded. Bryce isn't supposed to be up until five batters. You can just put Bryce in there, and he's up with the bases loaded, two outs.
Now, this is a huge change. Now, baseball
that
has
would be a huge change.
Now, baseball has made some pretty big changes. Pitch clock is big.
And I like most of them.
Banning the shift is big.
Yep.
A ghost runner, which they don't do in the playoffs, but that was big. That's big too. You know, in extra innings.
Right. Yeah. I guess for the regular season I could be okay with it. Cause for me it's almost you're trying to get through the regular season.
Sure.
And enjoy it. And if it's going to give me an opportunity to have my best hitter up there in a key moment, I think that's exciting for fans. Now, the purists aren't going to like this.
No.
What gives that away?
Yeah. Baseball pure. We should have had L.A. on to give his thoughts about this.
Yeah. I don't think he'd make it through the phone call. We got to set L.A. up for positions of success. I don't know if that's one of them.
Yeah. I think from a fan, I could see how it would be exciting and fun. And we all want our best hitter up in that situation, right? Like when we're getting that bottom of the ninth or the top of the ninth if we're on the road. How many times are we like, oh, I wish they would get to Bryce, or you know what I'm saying? Like, I would rather be able to put that guy in there to hit.
Yeah, of course, yeah. Are you Spike? Give your
well, then you can rant. And I am I think if you were to put me on the traditionalist versus non-traditionalist with baseball, I lean on the traditionalist side. I hate the designated hitter.
Love it.
I don't like that at all.
I am back to hating the DH.
Yeah.
National League was man's baseball.
Yeah.
The thinking man's league.
The manager has to stay awake. Maybe he'll notice in the middle of the season at some point that the team sucks and you should call a meeting or something if you have to stay awake during the game. It's just a thought. I originally looked at this and I said to myself, this is hokey, this isn't. And I decided I love it. And here's why I love it. I think the one thing, I love baseball. I love, love, love baseball. But the one thing that baseball doesn't have that the other sports have is when it is the most crucial time in the game, in any other sport, you can give the ball to your best player.
Or try to get it to him.
And you can have a high leverage situation with your best player. Basketball is obvious. Mm-hmm. You know, another challenge is, of course, getting the guy the ball in the right situation. Football, most of the time, you can at least scheme to get the ball to your best wide receiver, your running back. If it's your quarterback, he touches the ball. Baseball, there's so many times where it's a crucial point in the game and you're relying on your worst players. Now, I think there is a charm to that. But the idea that in a crucial point in the game, I can say, all right, you got your best reliever up there. Well, we're going to put our best hitter up there. And it creates all these other decisions that are like, well, who is the best hitter in that situation? Because it probably wouldn't always be Bryce, you know? For some teams, there's a decision as to which the right guy is.
Well, for us, it would always be Bryce.
At this point, sure, yeah, but
the Yankees would never put Judge.
But can you just imagine the drama if they sign Soto, right, and they're in a crucial game,
and
they put Soto in instead of Judge, and just the idea of, okay, we have the highest leverage point in the game, give us your best guy. You say regular season, give it to me in the playoffs too. I think it screws up records because there'll be extra at bats.
You okay with it for the postseason?
Yes.
No, I can't do it for the postseason.
I think it's exciting. Now go ahead, Jack. And I promise, by the way, I promise I'm not just doing this for the show. I legitimately thought about it, and this is where I am on.
Yeah, and I got one piece of audio for you for your little opinion.
Okay.
Oh God, I told you not to do that.
I hate it. I obviously hate it. I've been on board with all the gimmicky little stuff. The ghost runner on second
made
base
made the game better.
And listen, I understand the drama it would create. It's changing too much of the sanctity of the sport for me. There's part magic of having the little guy at the bottom of the lineup being able to come through.
And most times you'll get that, but one time a game you won't.
It's just changing. It's changing so much.
And imagine. Think of this. Think of. Oh no, did the manager use our golden at bat too early?
Oh, that's what it would be. Because I was just getting ready to say, when do you use it?
Like, yes. Well, think of the playoff game. Okay, think about the Mets series, right? Mm. We're struggling all series long. It's game four. It's bottom of the third. We
had a couple runners on base. Yeah. Couldn't drive them in.
Now, Bryce was actually up for one of those, but but all that said,
yes.
I don't know. Now, Jack, can I ask you this? These other changes, did you endorse them when they happened, or did you learn to love them?
Well, it's anti-everything.
Deep breaths. I like the three-batter minimum for the relievers because I hated getting guys in
Gabe
and out.
Gabe Ball.
Yeah. Gabe Kapler ruined baseball for an extended period of time there. I was initially anti-ghost runner, but I hate extra inning baseball more than – it's awful because everyone just tries to hit a home run at all times, and it did add a little bit of the element of strategy. This is changing a little.
Pitching clock.
I got around to the pitch clock.
Yep.
Yeah, I needed the game to speed up a little bit. For me, it just changes too much of the sport. Too much of the fabric of the sport. It's like you're just deciding, let's say just in football, you're like, all right, well, they should get the ball back, right? I want to see Mahomes with...
That's the whole tweaking it to...
It's sort of like the Eagles.
Yeah.
It's sort of like the Eagles onside kick idea that they've been trying to implement the last couple
of
years.
Which I actually do like.
Instead of an onside kick, you get
fourth and 15. Try.
I like that too.
I actually like that role.
I think,
but it's like, all right. Should golfers be allowed to have a mulligan in the PGA Tour?
Do not stop watching golf.
No, but that's different because
it's not really different.
But it is. But it is because
but it's the lineup.
But I appreciate baseball's history and I like the pace of it and I love all of those things. But at some point, with these sports. And no, football hasn't done it with big rule changes, but they've done small
they've
ones.
Done some small things,
that
yeah.
have changed the
changed
the sport.
Overtime rules 8 times, I think.
Basketball has changed rules significantly, and I think they're actually afraid to do it now, and they should do it again. I think if you're baseball, you have to say we've made a little bit of headway the last few years in updating the sport in a way that will make it more exciting. And I think this would make it more exciting. There's strategy that's involved in it. It's not just, okay, put your best hitter up, you get to hit a home run. There is the strategy of when do you use it? Who do you use it for? Who's, like, imagine.
Are runners on?
Yeah.
You need a contact hitter up there versus somebody who's swinging from the fences all the time.
Don't you think, Jack, you would hate it until it was actually happening?
Probably. That's how most things happen for me.
All right, okay. I think it's
interesting. And
would they do it? They'd probably do it in minor leagues first, right?
Oh, yeah.
Or something.
Yeah.
I was going to say, are they doing it anywhere else?
No. It's literally just a half-baked, like, thinking about it. Because automated strike zones, the next big thing they're going to be implementing, that's happening in AAA right now. So once they get that in, which is, I don't like that either, but, you know, then they'll work on the golden rule or whatever.
Can you imagine the manager trots out there with the golden ticket like Willy Wonka or whatever, hands it to the umpire, and you have to, who did he call up? Oh my God.
It would create intrigue.
You start giving these managers too much to think about.
They're so used to not having to think too much. You know what I mean?
Can you imagine explaining the golden ticket to Charlie, the golden bat to Charlie Manuel?
I thought it meant Charlie from Willy Wonka.
No, Charlie.
Thompson would finally do more than Sirianni.
Yes.
So that'd be good.
Wow.
215.
215. 592-9494.
That's the first piece of criticism I've heard.
Yes.
From Topper.
Yeah.
He's getting fed up in there.
Yeah, a little bit.
Just won a championship.
Yeah, that's all. Well, if you have an opinion on the golden at bat, the 215-592-9494. Jack, tell them about Scott Honda, then we'll get back to the call.
One thing that is the gold standard, the gold of Hondas, is Scott Honda in Westchester, where I bought my first car and my current Honda. Well, I was in there a couple weeks ago. I test drove Honda's first all-electric SUV, the Honda Prologue. The Prologue is sleek yet sporty and packed with technology. It also is very spacious for adventures and growing families like myself. So celebrate happy Honda days at Scott Honda of Westchester and now Scott Honda of Vineland. And when you go, make sure you test drive the new Prologue and ask about the unbelievable deals on the Prologue right now. Visit scottautogroup.com and tell him Fred sent you.
All right. Is this really Cowboy Jim just with a different name, or is it actually
Cowboy
Tim?
It's actually Cowboy Tim.
Okay. Cowboy Tim in Westchester. You're on WIP. Chichester. You're on WIP. What's up, Cowboy Tim?
Hey, what's up, guys? What's up, Spike?
What's up, Cowboy Tim?
Cowboy Tim, I don't think I've talked to you. Do you like the Cowboys, or are you a Cowboy?
No, I like the Cowboys. I'm a lifelong fan, but I am from PA, sadly.
Okay.
But yeah, I've called a couple times before.
Yes, sir.
What was the Brit I was going to choose was Hannibal, Anthony Hopkins.
Oh, that's a good one, Anthony Hopkins, Sir Anthony Hopkins.
Yeah, Sir Anthony. But then I started thinking about it. I'm like, nobody said Freddie Mercury, did they?
Nobody did say Freddie Mercury.
Name three more.
Yeah,
that's a good one.
who
you got
going
the other ones?
Who you going with, Cowboy Tim?
Monty Python.
Oh, no. All right, no. Okay, don't name any more Brits. There's one for everybody. You took three big ones off the board.
I like the show. I've listened to you guys for a long time.
I appreciate you, man.
Appreciate it, brother.
Even though I'm a Cowboys fan, I know. It's hard. You guys, the crazy thing is I actually have my birthday is on the 29th this year, and I was all excited because my 40th birthday is falling on the same day Dallas comes to Philly, go figure. Mm-hmm. I was like, all excited until that happened. The year happened or whatever.
Yeah.
Yeah, it hasn't been a good year for you guys. Sorry to say. I'm not really that sorry.
I was hoping the tickets would get cheaper because we stink. But
yeah.
The standing room onlys are like over $240 or something.
That's a good price.
But my buddies from work, I asked them if they wanted me to say anything. They told me to tell you no more Creed.
Oh, well
they can.
Yeah, I got bad news for your buddies at work. Yeah.
Seems like people are 50-50 on the Creed thing.
Well, that's how you know it's a good bit.
No, I'm not sure.
Yeah, we have a little passion on both sides.
Yeah, because some people really hate it.
Yeah.
but I think it's starting to grow on a lot of people at the same time. I
appreciate the call, Cowboy.
It's like that song you hear that when you initially hear it, you're like, oh, that's a song. But then you hear it enough on the radio.
Yeah.
You're like, ah.
People will win people over.
Yeah. That's what usually happens. Songs get stuck in your head and you normally, people get on board with it. Plus, everybody looks forward to Monday because we're in a live audience.
We sing in front of, people start, now they're singing now. Mm-hmm. They're taking videos now. I like it. Dan in North, and by the way, thank you to everyone. Creed played in Allentown last night. Woke up to a text message from Tony, friend of mine, Tony, that sent me the whole song. Then we got him on Instagram. We got him on Twitter. So a lot of people were recording One Last Breath at Creed last night in Allentown. Dan in North Carolina, you're on WIP. What's up, Dan?
Oh, hey, guys. I hope you all had a happy Thanksgiving.
I did.
What's up, Dan? We did.
Thank you.
Good, good, good. I got a question for you that Ike may be the best to answer, but I'm interested in what anybody has to say.
Yes, sir.
What do you think the factors are, internal or external, when you're watching a game and a team suddenly seems like they flip the switch and they're now pulling off what they hadn't pulled off before in the game? And that's always just puzzled me.
Yeah. I think what it is internally, it's the adjustments that are being made. That's the one thing Jordan Mailata was talking about when we had him on, and we don't talk about it enough because I think sometimes it can get into the weeds a little bit. But this team, this coaching staff, these coordinators, they have been great at making in-game adjustments. You know, we have Brandon on every Monday with the Brandon Graham Show. I talked about Jordan, and both guys have talked about how teams have come out and tried to do things differently early in the game that they hadn't seen on film. And it takes a couple series or two to sort of figure out what they're trying to do and then how can you attack that. So I think that's the biggest thing that's going on is that I think we have great coaches that in-game situations, they can make the adjustments when they need to. Now, it may not come as soon as we wanted to come, but this is a team that gets better as the game goes along, and that's a product of adjustments being made during the game.
Dan, let me follow that up with another question for Ike, because I've never asked you this. When you're watching a game, you think you feel momentum.
Right.
Right? Like, ooh, it's starting to shift. Mm-hmm. Do you feel that when you're playing?
Yes.
That the game starting to shift, like, they're on their heels now rather than us being on our heels.
Yes. And a lot of it has to do, now, obviously, if you're at home, you can feel the energy from the crowd and feel that momentum changing. But sometimes it's even more prevalent when you're on the road because you can feel a shift when you're on the road because you already know the energy is different in the building as the road team. And I believe the Eagles did feel that. I think they came out, got hit with Baltimore's 1-2 punch early. They took it. They got a standing eight count. They gathered themselves. And then I think when they got that first touchdown, I think they all exhaled. And then when they went out and got another stop on Baltimore. And that's where it really started changing. When the defense started getting stops, the offense could get going. So to the point you're making, you can feel it in the game. And that's why it's so important to have a good defense. Because I believe defenses do that for you.
They can swing a game.
They can swing the momentum like that for you.
Or even prevent the momentum swinging to the other way. You know what I mean? Like a stop can prevent the other team from getting on a roll.
To your point, Baltimore had opportunities where they could have got it going. Now, I know they missed some field goals, but the big play by Zach Bond, the tackle Derrick Henry in the backfield, the play from Jalen Carter where he sacked Lamar Jackson, like those are momentum changers that lead to missed field goals.
And I also think missed field goals are momentum changers too.
Killers.
You know, because you're doing what you think, you know, we do the take the points argument all the time, but you're basic, especially when you have a kicker like Tucker, him, who has been good previous to this year. You almost think, okay, this is a 42-yarder. This is an easy 3 points. Yep. We know that. And then when those 3 points don't come, we haven't
it's
talked.
It's deflating. The Washington game with Jake Elliott.
Yep. Yes.
When he missed the field goals. Luckily, we still won it. I mean,
Baltimore left 7 points.
Yep.
You know, out there with kicks, that could be a very different game.
Makeable 7 points too. Those are points that should have been on the board.
All right, Dan. That answered your question, I hope.
Oh, no, I appreciate that. This year for me is going to be either the agony or the ecstasy.
Yeah.
Being an Eagles fan, being from Philly, and having gone to school at Penn State and having had season tickets for 15 years there. So I'm either going to be in deep depression or...
Hey, Dan, we're built for it, man. We're built for it.
Yeah, we are built for it. Depression, sports depression is our blood. We. All right, Dan.
All right, thank you, guys.
All right, thank you, Dan.
We are built for it.
Yeah.
And we do it every year.
Yeah.
And most years I look like an idiot at the end of the year.
Well, whatever. Then you start again. Nobody remembers you before. Yeah.
Listen, I get back on the horse, and then I go on to the next team.
Yep.
The next team's winning the championship.
Oh, yeah. We started off with the Phillies this year. I remember that well. I remember that. We never went through it with the Sixers somehow this year. They didn't give us a chance, really.
Well, they scored 50.
Blinders on, Spike. Blinders. I don't even see anything else. They play tonight, don't they?
They do.
Charlotte.
4.5-point favorites.
Wow.
Home?
Sixers are 4.5-point favorites.
Is it home or in Charlotte?
No, it's in Charlotte.
In Charlotte.
Without Embiid, they're 4.5-point favorites?
They are. I looked this morning. They're 4.5-point favorites.
So. Yeah, because I saw Broads telling everybody to take the Sixers minus the 4.5.
Yeah. I know you're a hockey guy. Like, look. I hope the Sixers win. You might know more about betting than me. I wouldn't lay points with this team. They are 4-14.
No, I'm good.
4-14. So anyway, top 5 of 5 is next. Jack, what do we have cooking in the top 5 of 5?
So I know I don't often do back to back days of the Eagles.
Oh no!
But there's been stuff.
What else would you be doing?
Well, I usually find something dumb to do.
Yep.
But I actually found there's like a lot of funny Eagles related stuff that's happened in the last 24 hours.
Okay.
That I gotta play some.
All right.
So that'll be fun.
Yeah. All right. That is next. Also, your opinions on whether it is Super Bowl or bust or game to game for you right now with the Eagles, and what do you think of the golden at bat, the MLB potential new rule, which I think is fun. I think Ike is almost on board.
I'm on board with it.
And Jack is not on board until the first time it happens.
Yeah.
215-592-9494. This is the WIP Afternoon Show with Ike, Spike, and Fritz.